From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, March 25th. I'm Abby Larico. An app developed at Washington University is making substance abuse recovery more attainable.
And we have found significant reductions in use. So people who used the app and engaged with it were found to have a 50% fewer odds of reporting using illicit substances within a month.
How cell phones are creating opportunities for treatment, coming up after this news on The Gateway. It was a busy day on the Missouri Supreme Court beat. First, the court has upheld the legislature's right to redraw congressional districts in the middle of the decade. STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum reports that the win for Republicans is not the end of the line-drawing battle.
The court ruled 4-3 that even though there's no explicit authorization for mid-decade redistricting, there's no explicit prohibition either. That means it's still possible to implement a map aimed at ousting Democratic Representative Emanuel Cleaver of Kansas City. While there's still a pending case about whether signatures for a referendum on the map prevented the plan from going into effect, Attorney General Catherine Hanaway says the court gave redistricting proponents a clear win.
The map can be redrawn mid-decade, and importantly, we just keep winning on these issues.
Redistricting opponents say they have enough signatures to place the map up for a November 2026 vote. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Yesterday, Missouri Supreme Court also decided that groups that challenged the state's voter photo ID law in 2022 didn't have the legal authority to do so. The NAACP of Missouri and the League of Women Voters filed the suit, along with three voters who said the requirements placed an unconstitutional burden on their right to vote. The judges ruled yesterday that none of the parties had shown they were harmed by the photo ID requirement. They did not rule on the constitutionality of the law itself. Attorney Denise Lieberman of the Missouri Voter Protection Coalition argued the case for the opponents of the law.
I'm disappointed that the Missouri Supreme Court concluded against its prior rulings that voters and their advocates lack the ability to bring challenges to discriminatory photo ID laws.
Lieberman did not rule out future legal challenges to the photo ID requirement. Also Tuesday, the Missouri Supreme Court struck down state laws that put limits on voter registration drives. This comes after lawmakers in 2022 blocked groups like the NAACP and the League of Women Voters from paying people to conduct voter registration drives. STLPR's Rachel Littman has more.
Individuals who solicited more than 10 applications had to register with the state, and no one was allowed to convince someone to vote using an absentee ballot. The group sued, and the high court agreed with an earlier ruling that the restrictions were unconstitutional. Missouri NAACP President Nimrod Chappell says he was thrilled with the decision.
We understand that you tried to criminalize our ability to encourage others to engage in good citizenship.
A dissenting opinion says the majority misunderstood the meaning of the word solicit, and the restrictions therefore did not infringe on core political speech. I'm Rachel Littman, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis County is shutting down access to its offices on Fridays. St. Louis County Executive Sam Page told reporters that because of extensive backlogs and a lack of staffing, the county will no longer offer in-person service on Fridays from agencies such as the Department of Revenue. Page blamed the St. Louis County Council for not allocating enough money for staff. Council members say Page is being vindictive amid a budget deficit that requires significant cuts. Page also announced he's canceling the J.B. Blast fireworks event in South St. Louis County. He says it will save the county about $50,000. Notably, the St. Louis County Board of Elections announced its hours will remain unchanged. Development officials in the city of St. Louis will seek bids to demolish the parking garage of the long-vacant Railway Exchange building downtown. STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri has more.
The city's Land Clearance for Redevelopment Authority asked its board for approval on a plan to seek bids for the demolition of the 10-acre building, as well as a nearby building that once housed Charlie Guido's restaurant. The city purchased the garage last year for $2.6 million with plans to demolish the graffiti-covered property. The garage and Railway Exchange building itself have been problem properties downtown for years due to continued break-ins, fires, and other issues. St. Louis's outgoing development head, Otis Williams, called the demolition bids a big move for the city as it attempts to find redevelopers for downtown St. Louis. The city is seeking to obtain the main Railway Exchange building through an eminent domain case. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
John Batiste, Wyclef Jean, and Killer Mike will be among the artists playing a big music festival in St. Louis this summer. Organizers yesterday morning announced the lineup for Maddie, that's formerly Music at the Intersection. More than 100 musicians will play 5 main stages from July 17th through the 19th. There will be plenty of big names, but many of the musicians have local ties, like jazz musician Keon Harold, rapper Tef Poe, DJ Charlie Chan of Run DMC, and rocker Steve Ewing. Festival passes are on sale right now, and tickets for a new kickoff event featuring Batiste will go on sale Friday. For the full lineup, you can visit stlpr.org/Maddie2026. Temperature swings over the past few days might be giving some gardeners some headaches. Experts say those abrupt changes may have harmed plants like cherry or plum trees. Eliza Pesero is a horticulture expert with the University of Missouri Extension in St. Louis County, and she says while some plants may have lost their flowers in the cold, others are thriving.
At this time of the year, all of our brassicas, so like kale, broccoli, cauliflower, they all like the cold, and they can actually get a little bit sweeter with the cold.
Pesero says, though, if the flowers on your plants look dried up after a frost, they might not fruit. A Washington University School of Medicine researcher says cell phones are leveling the playing field when it comes to treating addiction for people without stable housing. In 2018, a team at the university developed the You Matter app. It's spelled U-M-A-T-R, to improve outcomes for people with substance use disorders. STLPR's Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson spoke with Dr. Vidya Ishwaran, the lead author of a newly published study about how the app is removing cost barriers and taking a holistic approach to recovery.
There are resources within the app. If you need housing assistance or you need to find a job or looking for a food shelter, there's local resources within the app. There's also educational modules. And the name You Matter comes from the abbreviation MAT, which is for medication-assisted treatment, which is the gold standard, best evidence-based treatment for substance use disorders. And then I think the coolest part about the app is that there's actually the opportunity to engage with a real human being through the app. That's our health coach.
This study focuses on the challenges people who have a substance use disorder face when they don't have stable housing. What is it about the You Matter app that has encouraged people to use it as a tool to aid in their recovery?
One is recognizing that it's not just the medicine that people need, but the app really thinks about the whole person and has the resources for everything else. If you don't have food, how are you going to make it to your doctor's appointment to get your medication? If you don't have a job, how are you going to be able to pay the copay for your doctor, right? And so recognizing that it's not just the medicine, but everything else in a person's life that impacts their health and well-being, and those resources are within the app. I think the other thing that people really appreciate is the ability to interact with somebody in real time through the app. It's a real person who can talk to and can give them that individualized support that they need.
Cost remains a barrier to treatment. And for some inpatient treatment facilities, the cost for a 30-day stint is a person's salary. How is the You Matter app easing that burden?
The app is free for folks who are using it. All of our funding is through the Missouri Department of Mental Health, and we've been getting over 7 years of funding from them to be able to provide this free of charge to folks in Missouri. And so you get access to all of those resources I talked about before for free.
And there are people in those facilities who are using this app.
Yep.
How, like, are we seeing, like, a consistent pattern thus far that, like, they're able to stay clean longer?
So currently we've been studying 30-day outcomes, so from using the app to 30 days, and we have found significant reductions in use. So people who use the app and engaged with it were found to have a 50% fewer odds of reporting using illicit substances within a month. And so we'd love to be able to take the study out longer and see longer-term impacts, but that first 30 days is really crucial too, right? 30 days is a long time to not be using substances for folks who have a substance use disorder.
This app is called You Matter. For you, why does this particular project matter?
So I'm an ER doc. I work at Barnes as one of my hospitals, and I every day see patients who are in one way or the other affected by substance use disorder. Even just last night, I was working in the ER, and there was a woman who came in who was talking about how she really needed help for her substance use disorder. She had been on therapy before, fell off the wagon, was using again, knew what she needed, but didn't know how to get there, and needed that support to really live her best life. And she was telling me about how when she was on treatment and getting treated and not using, how she was able to hold a job, how she was able to go to church, how she was able to take care and have custody of her kids and really have a full, meaningful life. And we have the treatment. We have treatment and medications to help people get there. It's the access that's missing.
That was WashU School of Medicine Assistant Professor Dr. Vidya Ishwaran speaking with STLPR's Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. Editor on that piece was Jonathan All. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.